And I'm Jim McClure, and welcome to you this Saturday morning to Community Matters, and welcome once again to Kathy Seberg, the Executive Director of the Walworth County Visitors Bureau. Kathy, it's been a while, but not too long a while.
Hello, good morning.
This is our second time in the past year, and Kathy was good enough to answer the interesting question, well, what the heck do you do in a summer tourist area in winter and before spring? And the answer was a heck of a lot. Well, here we are, tail end of summer, and I imagine the answer to the question, well, gosh, we just had the big night in big Venetian night in the Lake Geneva, the excitement of the international the Inland Yacht Association. Summer must almost be over, and there must be nothing to do around here.
Oh, that's not true at all. There's lots to do.
There's a ton, and we'll attempt to cram it in as soon as we can. You know, one of the most fascinating things as we're in this peak season where so much of southeastern Wisconsin and here in Walworth County is based on the tourist economy. I like the tack that from time to time when you're informing your customers and both your business customers and your resident tourist customers that you don't have to always spend an arm and a leg, that there are ways to do things on a budget. What are some of the activities that you have recommended for people who are looking for a quick way to have fun without busting the budget for the whole season?
So we put together a list of 10 summer activities for under $10. So just a few of them were, you know, the animal gardens in Delavan. For just $8, you can visit the baby barn, the outdoor petting zoo, see the bird show, and, of course, children 2 and under are free. So that's a cool one for families. Then there's another great attraction. It's the Geneva Lake Museum right downtown Lake Geneva. Admission there is only $7 for adults, and high school age and younger are free. So great opportunity there. You can swim the day away in whitewater at the Whitewater Aquatic and Fitness Center. Day passes are only $7 for residents and $8 for non-residents. And that's a little indoor water park. So if it's a nice rainy day or you know, just looking to get out of the house, it's a fantastic opportunity. I've been there many times and love it. They have a lazy river, a lap pool, a water slides, a hot tubs. It's just great. If you're looking for something a little more fun, Dan Patch Stables. You can go there for pony rides and a petting farm. The pony rides are only $8 per child, and the petting farm is free.
And that's out right at
that
Grand
is
Geneva.
At the entrance of Grand Geneva, exactly. So you can head on over to Elkhorn to Watson's Wild West Museum. Tickets there are only $5 for adults and $3.75 for kids aged 4 to 10. And you can go to the Y. So our local YMCA is actually located in Lake Geneva. Adult day passes there are only $9, and high school age and under only $5. You know, and of course they have, you know, racquetball courts and basketball courts and a swimming pool and a weight room. So you can spend your whole day there just having fun. You can go golfing, miniature golfing, at Lake Lawn Resort. They have 18 holes. The cost is only $6 for adults or $4 for kids. So number 8 on my list are the local beaches. So there's still plenty of warm weather for you to get out there. Picnic lunch, some chairs and toys, and spend the day enjoying each other's company and taking in the view. The fun is free, and the beach admission prices vary. But you could go. You can find lots of beaches that are free also. Bigfoot Beach State Park, for instance, is a free beach. So you can also challenge your family on the indoor rock climbing wall at Grand Geneva. They have 12 separate climbing routes, and there's something for every skill level. Now, this is kind of cool. So it's $25 for 3 climbers for 30 minutes or $50 for 6 climbers for 60 minutes. So that's a great, great price. And think about it for, you know, that special birthday party coming up. Then our number 10 on the list is Sunset Pool in Elkhorn. So I think it's the only outdoor pool in our county, and it's pretty new. They redid it, you know, just I think 2 years ago. So it features 2 slides, geysers, basketball hoops, diving boards, dunk buckets, and a load of fun for everyone. So day passes are only $5 per person, and two and under are free.
And I think they have there, and there's other areas, Sharon and other towns, have movies sometimes once a week for the family.
Oh, yeah. If you check our calendar events, which is on visitwalworthcounty.com, we list all the movies in the parks or movies under the stars. It's getting towards the end of the season, so there's not going to be as many left, but holy cow, they had one practically every weekend, different communities throughout the county.
And one can do that as the days grow shorter and the nights colder, also at libraries as well. Well, let's think about music. That's still going on too. That there are several communities that have like a Thursday night music or a Sunday in the park. I guess the main thing is if you're a resident and you're listening to this program, check your website, check the newspapers. And if you're into music, you can find all kinds of things and also a little bit of nightlife, too, at some of the areas around here that have live music along the way.
So we list also on our calendar live music by local bands at different places like the Abbey or maybe Champs, if you want to, get out and catch some bands. But in the parks, I know the Lake Geneva right downtown in Flatiron Park, they have musics in the park on Thursday nights. And I know that in Whitewater, they have music in the parks. East Troy also has that. So really check your listings because there is just a lot of fun you can have. And those concert venues, they're free.
Yeah, I've been to events in also in Delavan, right near us. There's the Phoenix Band Show.
Yep.
All that, and the variety too. Whether it's gospel, whether it's ethnic, whether it's jazz, country, rock, you name it. Well, country makes me think. Recently we had the big country thunder get together right in the Twin Lakes area. There are so many events that we didn't necessarily know about 2 or 3 years ago that took place this summer. There was the Walworth County, not the county, but really the state, the Wisconsin Farm Technology Days was down here for the first time ever. What an interesting mix of both tourism and business. And to have everybody in the state and everybody in the agricultural field from around the country come out. Didn't they get like thousands of people down here for that?
They did. Thousands of people. And it's basically the trade show for the farm industry. We had a booth there to help people find information. But it was huge, absolutely huge. They had thousands upon thousands of people visit. The farmers from around the state, the vendors, crafts and implements and you name it, they had it. It was a great opportunity. So yes, a nice cross mix of blending the tourism industry because everybody was coming to us and the farming industry.
So what are the kind of yardsticks that you use to measure? I know that in the tourism industry, generally May is kind of when you sit back and say, well, how are we doing? Are we growing? Is it a growing field for you?
Well, our organization actually purchases reports from independent third party number gatherers, I guess you'd call them.
Sure.
So that they're unbiased, and so we can gauge occupancy in hotels, the demand, things like that, revenue generated by overnight stays. We also, use the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, and they release a report every year in May during National Tourism Month on each county in the state, telling us, how we did with tourism expenditures, the amount of money that was generated, for taxes and things like that because of tourism. So all that information, we use and we keep track of. Room tax, that's, generated here in the county. We keep track of that also. So there's lots of different ways to tell if, tourism is increasing, if we're doing our job well.
Mm-hmm. And were there any figures that were announced this year that kind of gave us a sense? Are we still coming out of, are we still enjoying a mild economic recovery from whatever the dog days were? I don't know if it was bad for tourism back when the recession hit in 2008, 2009, but does it still seem to be growing from the data that you get?
Everyone was impacted by the 2008, I guess, crash, maybe you'd call it.
Yeah. The Great Recession.
Including the tourism industry, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We are still recovering. Walworth County is very fortunate. We've had an increase every year since this year, or 2015, I should say, over 14. We actually had an increase of, let's see, it was 4.39%. So that's just fantastic. So in the state of Wisconsin, it was $11.9 billion. In Walworth County alone, it was a 3.04% growth over 14. That's in Walworth County. It's $509.6 million generated by tourism expenditures. We are still sixth in the state. So if you consider the fact that we don't have any major metropolitan areas, we don't have a major sports team, we don't have, we have, little airports, but we don't have any, mass transit in the area, large international airports. The fact that, we're right there in the top 10 with Milwaukee and Dane, the capital, and, Green Bay, so Brown County, we're right there with everyone else holding our own. That's fantastic. It's because of the amenities that we have here, the lakes, the attractions, the great things to do.
Yeah, I was down in Chicago, where, of course, a lot of our base comes from, both as second homes and visitors, and I was pleased that at CTA station near the O'Hare Airport, I'm opening up some of our local tourism magazines around here and reading about Walworth County. So the message is out. How far do you throw that fishing net out? What's the outer area of where we kind of toot our horn and let people know we're here?
Well, nationally, if we can get national coverage, we'll jump on it. We've hosted familiarization tours, or FAM tours, where the state will bring in media and we'll give them a tour of the area, and that we've had both national and international media come in.
It didn't hurt having the, what was it, the 100th anniversary of the tour boat mail service? I think some national coverage came out of that this year.
Yeah, every year we actually get national coverage for the mailboat tryouts, but this year is very special for them because it is their 100th anniversary. But, if we're looking for target markets, our number one market is the Chicagoland area, obviously. And then, we have the Milwaukee area, too. But we're very fortunate that we are right smack in the middle of Milwaukee and Madison and Rockford and Chicago. So we draw from, all four corners. And for the biggest bang for our buck, it's the Chicago area.
And the beauty of the Walworth County area being located along our major arteries, the Interstate 43 from Milwaukee, US 12 coming up from the Chicago area, State Highway 50 from between Kenosha and Zanesville. You're going to get here, and pretty quickly, too. And it occurred to me, I remember back when we had in the county the classic State Welcome Center on US 12 in Genoa City at our gateway there. I imagine that was a casualty of the recession or cutbacks that we thought, but the state's loss was kind of the county's gain, and that I imagine you and other regional tourist bureaus took on much of that function of being the official greeter and welcomer and informer.
Yes, actually, the state had actually made an agreement with, let's say, the Bloyd. The Bloyd has a welcome center. Mm-hmm. It was it's a rest area. Mm-hmm. So the rest area, the bathroom part of it, is run by the Department of Transportation.
Now Pleasant Prairie, I think.
Pleasant Prairie also is another example. And so they made an agreement with the local Convention and Visitors Bureaus that they would take over running the visitor information side of it. And so it's just a nice partnership that the state isn't having the entire burden upon their shoulders, and the local CVB is able to open welcome centers. And so, you know, we were able to, you know, put up signs on Highway 43 directing people into our little office, and we have statewide information as well as local information. So it's we're trying our best to get the information out there.
I noticed too that we are having a lot of new things locate, which is, I think, another good bellwether of how the economy is going. I'm going to take a quick traipse through a couple of those that I'm becoming aware of. First of all, in downtown Lake Geneva, we aren't quite at Branson or Las Vegas level yet, but by gosh, we have our own magician and magic show now. Do you know a little bit about that, or have you been able to hear much about it?
I do. I've actually seen one of his shows, and it is fantastic. It's Tristan Crist, and he's got a magic theater here. He's an illusionist, he does a really good job. I believe he's from Baraboo, from one of the magic shows up there.
Sure.
But he does a really, really good job, and the testament of his skill is that, you know, he's sold out a lot. So if you want tickets to go see one of his shows, you need to, you know, contact him in advance and get your tickets.
Yeah, and things probably have a way of disappearing, so you want to make sure you get there. And the newest, I know that we're all both in the press and tourist arenas learning about it, but we've got a new safari center that's going to be starting up, and you're heading out to learn about that.
Yes, it's a new safari park right outside of Lake Geneva on Litchfield Road off of Highway H. So in between Bloomfield or Pell Lake and Lake Geneva, you'll find it. They have lots and lots of animals, zebras and ostriches and all sorts of things. So it's something different. You know, we have Dancing Horses, which has the animal gardens.
Right.
And so this is just another added attraction, you know, benefit to our area. It's like a zoo, but it doesn't have any predatory animals. So there's no lions and tigers. You know, if you're looking for something like that, then Valley of the Kings is a sanctuary down by Sharon that has lions and tigers and wolves and things like that. And you can get a membership there to help them. So they're really an animal sanctuary. You can't just show up and visit unless you're a member.
Yeah, and that is that's such a fascinating place to see some of those animals that were, you know, just large enough for zoos and circuses and for wild, and they do wonderful things. But where else can you see lions and cougars and beautiful? And the Safari Center is going to be exciting to experience as well. Tell me a little bit more about the horse show. That has a very kind of Las Vegas feel to it. It's right near the intersection, just west of the intersection of Highway 67 and Highway 50. And what do you experience when you go out there?
I describe it as a Vegas show on horseback. It's the costumes are just vibrant and just fantastic, and the showmanship, the horse and the rider bond, you can really tell. It's just a really, really cool show, and they have different shows. You know, the Christmas time, and you know, it's a themed for the holidays.
There's a dinner involved with it too.
You can get a dinner. You can get lunch or dinner. Yep. So you have to check the website to, you know, see what they have available. You can do a lunch show with a lunch with dinner. You know, lunch with the show afterwards, or again dinner show afterwards, something like that. They also have the bird that was on America's Got Talent, and so he does an appearance. You can get a full package where you get to go through the baby barn and the petting zoo and things like that also. So it's just really a testament to her love of her animals. It's just a gorgeous and beautifully put together show.
And from what I see in the commercials and the brochures, the beautiful ladies with the plumage in sequins aboard the horses. Now, where do they get the performers? I mean, it's one thing to, you know, you expect water skiers. You expect plenty of people who grew up on the farm knowing how to take care of the animals at the fair or whatever. But where do you get showmen and show ladies for working with beautiful, graceful horses?
I don't know. They are athletes, though. That is for sure. Some of the stunts that they do on horseback, it's amazing. So I'm sure that they probably have connections, you know, nationally or internationally to be able to find performers like this. And, you know, and the horses, you know, I think that she breeds them herself. So it's just amazing. It's just a great asset we have here in the county.
Moving from horses to horsemen, you mentioned, and I see the signs, and I am going to pull in before the summer is over, for the Wild West Show. Now, this is, you can help me with the name. I'll help with the location. It's up north on 67, north of where U.S. 12, just north of where U.S. 12 merges with Wisconsin Highway 67, just on the north side of Elkhorn. And I gather you get kind of a, who was it that had the Wild West shows out west? But you get the chance to experience going into the saloon and talking to an old horseman you know, how does it take you out to the old Wild West while you're there?
You are talking about Watson's Wild West Museum, and that's Doug Watson is the proprietor. He has the most amazing collection of Wild West items, you know, the horseshoes and the cowboy boots and the cowboy hats and, you know, anything that related to it, he's got it. Again, we're very fortunate that he's here. He does winter in Arizona. So if you're going to see him, you're only going to see him during the warm months here because he hightails it out of here. It's really, really cool. You know, Annie Oakley, you can actually catch a show if you want to have a special event there. He'll arrange it and actually have food catered in. So if you wanted a dinner show, I have seen, I think it was Annie Oakley show that I saw. And it's really cool. They have a reenactor come in and she pretends to be, you know, the person and does a fantastic job. This is really, really cool.
As long as we're heading north that way, let's keep going along 67, Kathy, up toward Eagle, Wisconsin, which is about 25 minutes north of Lake Geneva, and Old World, Wisconsin. And what a fascinating place. I refer to it somewhat inaccurately as our version of Colonial Williamsburg or in a historic attraction. Take us back to the 1840s, 1830s, 1850s, and what you experience in the course of a day, and you could easily spend a day at Old World, Wisconsin and Eagle.
Oh, absolutely. It is a living history museum. So you can actually go and live life on the farm there. Go and collect the eggs or wash the clothes, hang the clothes, or learn how to bake something on the stove, the wood-fired stove. They actually have some really cool programs where they have workshops for adults. Some of them are for kids too, but in like blacksmithing, you want to learn how to blacksmith, you can actually sign up for one of their workshops. It's affordable and just really, really cool. They have day camps there, so kids can go back in time. Maybe they want to, maybe they spend the day living like a Union soldier. So it's just really, really cool experiences you can't really get anywhere else. They have a gift shop, of course, but once you know, enter into Old World, there are different settlements like the German or the African American, so you can go and maybe relive a little bit of your heritage and see how your ancestors lived
and recreated with the actual buildings of the time that have been brought from other places across the state. We're at the halfway point. You're listening to Community Matters on WGTD-FM out of Kenosha, Racine, Lake Geneva, and Elkhorn. Our guest this week is Kathy Seberg, the Executive Director of the Walworth County Visitors Bureau. And Kathy, in the first half of the program, we were talking about some of the measurements that you use, and you mentioned for keeping track of tourism, the room tax, and that's important for many communities. We don't have to get into all the facts and figures, but the state is changing how it allocates money from room tax for bureaus like yours. How is that all changing now in terms of, you know, how the revenue gets to the bureau, how is it used, and how you work in concert? You have to kind of do a, I think, a very delicate balance between working with the communities and working with the legislature and making that money get the most for the citizens and tourist buck, I suppose.
Well, we actually don't receive any room tax.
Huh?
So here, his eyes just got huge.
Yeah.
So we are county funded here. The local municipalities actually control where the room tax goes. They collect the room tax and then they decide which organization they would like it to go to. In most of our communities, it goes to a local chamber of commerce or a tourism entity.
So that gets you out of that. That kind of frees you over what some of the other local bureaus have to deal with, which is the change of revenue and what portion they're going to get.
Well,
it's going to be a
yes and no.
Here, yeah.
Because, you know, where they have to deal with their local municipality and maybe be report on where, how the money is spent, we have to do that with the county. So, you know, I just had this last week, my administrative review with our county administrator. So, you know, we don't have to deal with an individual municipality. We still have to deal with a governing body, and that's the county. And we get audited every year. And so, you know, I think we may have more of a process because it comes right out of the county budget. It's not something that's earmarked like room taxes, where it's almost an automatic. Ours is not, our funding.
Yeah, and it must be streamlined to get your marching orders and your guidelines and your work processes through Elkhorn rather than through Madison. So I suppose at this point we'll stand up and give a salute to Dave Brettel, the county administrator,
yes,
who does just an incredible job, not only running the county as administrator, but doubling as the legal counsel as well. And, you know, that's part of the unique nature of Walworth County. It is so many things to so many people, an agricultural center, a tourist center, a population area that doubles every year, and I think specifically last weekend before with the Venetian Fest in Lake Geneva and the Inland Lake Yachting Association that brought 875 sailors and 250 boats to the area with so much to offer. Let's talk next, if we could, about what I think has to be Walworth County's biggest bragging point, the fact that, talk about an eye-opener, our county fair apparently is the largest in the state. How did we manage this feat? They have it right on the poster this year.
We're blessed. That's all I have to say. And it's funny because, you know, I just had this conversation with someone. They were talking about another county fair that's not too far away, and I said, well, I assume that, you know, they were all like ours. And it's like, no, they're not. It's, you know, one of the unique things about our county fair is that it's alcohol-free. And so a lot of families really appreciate that. It's, you know, affordable. I think it's only $10 a person to get in for adults. They have senior days, they have family days, so special pricing for that. Season passes are affordable if you want to go every day. It's always Labor Day weekend, so the only gripe that my kids have is they're already back in school when it starts. So we're just blessed.
And it's starting really this coming week.
It starts on Wednesday and runs through Monday, Labor Day. With a what do you call it? The rides.
The carnival rides,
the
flip you upside down things.
Yes.
We'll use technical terms.
And, you know, exhibits, people entering, you know, the 4-H kids entering in their animals and the different projects that they've done, to the local vendors, you know, will be there and allowing our member businesses to be able to participate and educate the population on what there is to do in Walworth County. So there's the fair is just awesome. I can't say more.
Well, yeah, actually, you can.
I can't say enough.
Well, first of all, let me first give the live narrative. I feel like I'm on Wide World of Sports. You have a bird feeder in your window, and we just had two wild turkeys come. which makes my point. I wish they had gobbled for our audience. As far as the Walworth County Fair goes, it's not a museum or a period piece either, or a living history farm. If you go to a county fair in, say, Western Chicago, you're going to have to use a lot of imagination to picture what it was like when the farms were all around it and they were leading the cows in. There's cornfields within a mile of this county fair, and of course all the agriculture that's in our area. So it's still very much, there's the agricultural feel to it, that you're in an area that's populated by farm families and farm businesses. And if you don't normally get that taste of life, you can get it. If you miss that taste of life from your childhood or whatever in a less populated area, you get that too when you come out.
You know, it really is a great way to expose. If you're raising a family, or maybe you haven't been exposed yourself, and you're in a metropolitan area and have not seen a cow up close, or a pig, or a chicken, whatever it might be, a great way to expose them to that. And you're right, farmland very, very, very close, so you can take a nice drive and you're right there. It's eye-opening, it really is, and to know that, you know, we have this, and it's one of the oldest also county fairs, if not the oldest.
And they fill the stands every year with top name bands. Mm-hmm. I think Skillet is the big band this year, and you know, everything from country to contemporary Christian, and then of course smaller stages throughout the event will be there. What else do you see?
Well, I just got reminded that one of my favorite places is the Barnyard Adventures. Have you been?
No.
It's really, really cool. So it's for little ones, but I kind of sneak in sometimes.
They usually stop me by the elephant ears and the lobster rolls, so do tell.
So they can go through and they can, they have different areas. They have the real live corn growing and in different pots and things like that. Mm-hmm. But they have, the kids can go and take a shopping basket and they can go and they'll have, pretend. Otherwise to be picked out immediately, but they can go and collect the produce from the near the stalks of what might be growing, and then they have in that area a butterfly barn, so you can go in and feed the monarchs. So that right there is one of my favorite things to do at the fair, is to go into the butterfly barn.
How do you feed a butterfly?
They give you a little Q-tip that's dunked in, you know, nectar, uh-huh. And then the butterflies come and they sit on the Q-tip and they eat, or they'll sit on your shoulder, or land on your head, whatever it might be. But it's just really, really fun.
My favorite Walworth County fair moment, well, other than meeting Kenny Loggins, who, you know, I bought all his records when I was growing up in high school and college, and that was just thrilling to see him just filled the stairs. And we're going to have Scotty McCreary on the grandstand this year. But if you're broke and or lazy, and I usually qualify as both of those, I was even able to enjoy what you might get at a Bristol Renaissance fair. There was a group of Renaissance medieval people a year before last, and I was, you know, learning how to use one of the big long bows and how to fight, and just it's what fairs have always been, the opportunity to experience that which you don't usually see, mm-hmm. and for the farm community to show off what they can, mm-hmm. and enjoy the music. And music, we've got to say, Music by the Lake continues at George Williams College, and
the Belfry.
Ooh, let's talk about both of those. First of all, how George Williams, for the people in our area who are big Ravinniites, the fact that George Williams has a kind of a Ravinia of its own in many ways. Mm-hmm. And then from that, yeah, let's transition into the Belfry next.
Have you been to Music by the Lake?
I have, and I don't want to go back to Ravinia. Sorry about that.
It's just gorgeous. The pavilion they have, the Farrell Pavilion, where they have the music, you can pay to have premium seating, or you can throw a blanket on the lawn and have lawn seating.
And the Geneva Lake down below you.
And the backdrop is the lake. It's just beautiful, and the acts that they bring in are just top-notch and just wonderful. So that is Music by the Lake. So you need to check that out. If you like outdoor entertainment, this is the pinnacle. So.
And the Belfry Theater. I'll give the quick historical lesson, and then you can give the exciting tourism lecture. Again, so much is intertwined in what we talk about between tourism and business, and whether you're of a business mind, of a tourist mind, it was heartbreaking for so many to drive by the Belfry, which from the 30s to the 70s and again the 90s, I mean, this was the original home of summer theater in Wisconsin, a little 1880s Mormon church that became a playhouse where Paul Newman and Gary Berghoff of MASH and Harrison Ford all started their professional careers, and here was a place falling apart along the road in between Williams Bay, Lake Geneva, Elkhorn, and Delavan, looking for all the world like a future gas station or drugstore that it was going to get knocked down. And people came in and bought it. They said, we're going to bring family entertainment back. And darned if they didn't do it. Although it's for this year, for the debut, it wasn't necessarily with a dramatic version, but they definitely are in the music part of Belfry Music Theater.
Absolutely. And so there's a couple more opportunities for you to experience the Belfry this summer. So tonight, we have the Blues Brothers tribute. Yes. So that is tonight at like 7:30, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then next weekend, for Labor Day weekend, they have shows Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and is the ultimate Eagles tribute. And so what's cool about this is, you know, they bring in these bands, and then they're selling the tickets, and the money, the revenue that they're generating is going back into the Belfry.
And not only that, but also, I mean, everybody loves a good Elvis tribute or Beatles, and they've had both of those. But, you know, earlier they had Peter, Paul, and Mary, the Carpenters, Chicago, Bruce Springsteen, look like James, John Denver, James Taylor, Gordon Lightfoot. I mean, if the classic music of the summer and the 70s and the 60s and the 50s was your thing, they've brought that home to us. It's amazing. It'll be fun to see how that that chapter plays out. Well, in the 6 minutes or so we have left, let's talk a little bit more about what there is to do before Labor Day is over and summer is over. There's still plenty to travel to in this area. Let's talk about, we've covered planes a little bit. We've covered automobiles. How about trains? What's going along? Are the last of the interurban? What used to be a train line from East Troy to Milwaukee, 8 miles, has been preserved, and we've got, I think, trains from just everybody's past, from the Chicago area, from Wisconsin, from Midwest. The East Troy Electric Railroad, you can have a charming day or a very elegant day or evening on the rails.
East Troy Electric Railroad, one of my favorite attractions here in the county. It's really a nice throwback. I've heard that grandparents love to take their grandkids because, you know, they once rode some of these trains. They get these trains in and they restore them, and they're just beautiful. You could leave from the East Troy Depot and go to the Elegant Farmer. So one of my favorite things to do is park at the East Troy Depot, ride the train, pick my apples in the fall, and then ride back. You're not dealing with any of the crowd of at the apple orchard. So that's one of my favorite secrets. So,
and if you're too lazy to drive or broke to drive down to the Union Railroad Museum or whatever, off you go there, and you can enjoy pizza nights and
They have dinner trains that are so good, and they have that cheese lovers trains and beer trains, and there's special events that you must buy your ticket because they sell out. So these special events you have to get a ticket for, and they cater in food, and it's just a fantastic experience. They stop along a lake and let you know, you can get out and walk around a little bit and get back on the train and go home. And they do have special events throughout the fall, and even like a Santa train in December. So the East Troy Electric Railroad really never goes to sleep.
And the Yerkes Observatory, built finished in 1895, opened in 1897. There's always something new under the stars, but boy, there's really some new things going on there in terms of you can actually look through that famous telescope now. I mean, before the telescope, the 40-inch refractor, which was the largest of its kind ever made, they now have specialty tours where for a nominal fee, you or a group can go and actually look through that telescope, mm-hmm. that instead not look at the telescope, look through it. And this is certainly the top season for them through the end of fall, too, isn't it?
Yeah, they have special programs throughout the year where, you know, you can go in and see maybe an eclipse or certain stars. They're quite frequently, and, you know, every month they have new programs. But for looking through the big telescope, they have those programs are very unique. It's only been recently that they've opened it up for the public to be able to look through them. And again, for, you know, a fee, and you can bring a group in and, you know, share the fee. But it's really quite an experience. I mean, this is Einstein's bucket list, is to look through this telescope, and you get to do what he did. So to me, that's amazing.
And then finally, we mentioned that this was the area where Summer Stock Theater was started in Wisconsin. We have professional theater at up near the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater at the Fireside Theater, don't we? I'm not sure a lot of people realize that if you want a pro theater experience, you don't necessarily need to go to Chicago or Milwaukee.
Now we have the Fireside, which is in Fort Atkinson, and they bring in professional actors, actresses. It's musicals, and so all these wonderful, I mean, they bring them in from New York, everywhere. So we absolutely have professional theater right here close to us. But we also have the Young Auditorium, which is on UW-Whitewater's campus, and that's also professional theater. They come in and they perform there. So they're not as frequently, so you have to watch. But that season will be starting up because it follows the season of the school year.
And then finally, Kathy, anything that you would like to urge people to take advantage of that they might not have been aware of or done in the past? What's the best cheapy thing to do out there? And if you really want to have a blowout, what's the fanciest thing you can do to close out the summer?
I would say the cheapiest thing to do that's really cool is walking along the lakeshore path. So that
21 miles.
I would recommend maybe doing it in sections. Maybe starting in Lake Geneva and going to Williams Bay. And if you're looking for something a little more extravagant, You could charter a boat from Lake Geneva Cruise Line and have a private event, just you and your significant other. So if you really want to go all out, those opportunities are there too. But I do want to remind everyone that I call fall the festival season, because that's when it seems to really ramp up. And we have all of the corn roasts and Oktoberfest. They're all coming. So keep your calendars open, because we have a lot of fun things coming. And don't forget all your apple orchards and wineries that are out there.
All right, Kathy, thank you so much. And, it ain't over till it's over, and there's lots more to come with tourism in Walworth County. I'm Jim McClure. Thank you for listening this week to Community Matters, and have a great week ahead.